All right. Did you guys know that Illinois' black unemployment rate is the highest in the nation? Gee, that doesn't really surprise me. Seeing we're hearing for these calls for new jobs, I know it's high because you had 16,000 individuals to apply for the Chicago Police Department recently. What does that tell you? They were telling us that, you know, African Americans and other minorities are looking for these jobs. Well, when you bring the information to the community, they show up. There's not a career fair, job fair. The Chicago Urban League comes on every Monday with all these different jobs, and there are corporations that are committed to diversity. But why is it that we have so many African Americans unemployed? It's because they don't want to work? Is it because there is suit after suit after suit filed against? There was a labor company where they were discriminating against these African American laborers. We just talked about Metra, how they are discriminating, and this is run with tax dollars. So joining us in the studio, and let me get this right. I don't know what I did with it. I didn't know what I did with it. I'm sorry. What is your name?
No problem. Marie Trupek Lynch. I'm the CEO of Skills for Chicagoland's Future.
Yes, and you did some good work. So tell me what Skills for Chicagoland's Future, what do you guys do?
Yep. So we are a not-for-profit organization that works with businesses to put unemployed and underemployed back to work. Mm-hmm. So our pure mission in life is to work with companies to get them to commit to hire unemployed and underemployed, mm-hmm. and then to go reach into the neighborhoods and find this great talent to get them into those jobs.
All right, so tell me a little bit about your success rate. What kind of corporations are you working
with?
Yeah,
so we work with about 50 companies a year. This is about our fourth year doing it. We put about, last year we put 1,150 people back to work. That's not people we talk to. That's actually people we put into jobs. Mm-hmm. And it's a whole range of jobs. You know, Chicago's economy is diverse, mm-hmm. and the companies we serve is diverse. So right. everything from banks and hospitals to retail and transportation. So a whole range of companies. And we get them what's unique about what we do. That's part of why our success has happened, is because we work with the companies to get a senior level person to agree to commit to hire, and they actually sign a letter of engagement with us and say how many people they're going to hire with us per year.
Why do you think that the unemployment rate amongst African Americans is at its highest in the state of Illinois?
Yep.
That's not a badge of honor.
No, it's not. And it's, you know, unfortunately, honestly, it's, I would hope someday our job would go away. That people are just getting jobs, but it's not. And until everybody has a job, we're going to be in it to, you know, to help folks at jobs. You know, our look on it, you know, there's a lot of talk about skills gap, wage gap, all those things. But to be honest, you know, what we are really focused on is something you talked about when you introduced this, which is about the access gap.
Right.
And that if you're, you know, who your neighbor is, oftentimes dictates where you get a job. And,
right.
and you know, the data shows that about 80% of, how people find jobs is through their network.
And we just talked about this last week, where Illinois is pretty high when it comes to education.
Yeah.
Which makes, yeah. you know, it just doesn't make any sense to me.
Well, you know, 4 years in, I'd say this, you know, a year ago in March, actually, we with the mayor, we actually announced and we showed the demographics of where we were finding talent. And we actually are finding the most unemployed and underemployed for jobs from neighborhoods that are the hardest hit. And mm-hmm. we're proud of that, because that's who should be getting the jobs, right? That's our mission. That's
right.
what we want to find. And we're proud of, I mean, there's great, as you know, there's great talent in the communities, but you have to know, you have to be able to get your resume to the top. And so it's tough when everybody's spending so much time online filling things out, you know, filling out online, and they think that's, they're spending 90% of their time filling out jobs online, but
right.
yet 80% of jobs come from somebody you know. And so we talk about ourselves as we're your neighbor, where we can get, you know, when you come in and meet with us, we can then get your resume to the top, to the employers, and we have guaranteed interview days.
I find it very curious that Chicago Mayor Rahm Emanuel is at Stanford University today to try to lure the talent from that part of the country to Chicago, because it has become like a little Silicon Valley
yeah.
here. We have that talent here.
Yeah.
You don't necessarily have to have a college degree. This is what
right.
they're saying. This is what the tech companies are saying. You don't have to necessarily have a college degree if you are proficient in
yeah.
something.
So I think, so So let me talk about skills and where we play with that. So, you know, roughly 81% of the folks we've placed are actually African-American. About 60% have only a high school degree. The other 40% have associates or a bachelor's degree. And so I think the reality is there's a lot of different types of jobs, and you got to find a lot of different type of talent. And maybe there's recruiting going out in Silicon Valley today. The reality, though, is, you know, a lot of people don't know that we receive funding from the city of Chicago. We receive funding from the mayor's office, who's supportive of us being in the communities. And we are, you know, when we actually talk to our employers, they will say to us that the number one reason that they utilize us is because we are able to get them access into the neighborhoods. And they're struggling with that. They're struggling. And there's great talent here.
Because that's the same thing that I was talking about with the Chicago Police Department. I didn't like that narrative. Well, people don't want to become police officers. That's not true.
Right.
If all of the flyers of when the police exam is in Mount Greenwood, in every Catholic church, and of course, most of the people there are Chicago Police Department or Chicago Fire Department, or if it's only at Brother Rice and Mother McCauley High School, we're not going to know on the South Side when these dates. So they had a very successful recruitment because they actually reached out to the community.
Right.
And that's the bottom line. That's you're the conduit for these corporations that say, you know what, we do need more diversity.
Right.
They just don't know how to do it.
That's right. And they want great talent, right?
Right.
And I scream off the mountaintops here in this city. We have great talent in all the neighborhoods, right? And I'm so proud of exactly your point. There are lots of people who want jobs, and they want good jobs, and youth want jobs, and, you know, adults want jobs. And so by us actually working with those companies and then putting our footprint into the community and working with over 70 agencies and doing those job fairs in the neighborhoods, we find it. It's there.
Remember when Mariano's had their, you know, the job fair, it was around the block.
Right.
The line was around the block.
Yeah. It's good talent. It's just, it's creating the access. It's connecting that access gap. And so, you know, we're exactly right. We're that intermediary in the space so that the employers, we have the jobs.
Mm-hmm.
Every month we have over 100 jobs we're filling.
Okay.
Every month. I mean, like real live jobs. And then we just have to, you know, we're connecting them with the community to find the individuals.
And so do you do much like the workplace development division of the Urban League, is that you prepare these people to get these
so
different,
you know what,
jobs?
There's actually over 70 agencies in Chicago who actually get people job ready, and Skills was created actually to not replicate that, because there's a lot of good work Urban League and others.
Saint
Sabina is doing it. There's a lot of great organizations. Our sole focus is to knock down the doors of the employers and to get them to actually hire. And so there's a whole bunch of folks who are getting people ready, and we're getting the employers to actually hire and making that connection. So that's we're depending on those agencies to get them ready.
There is, in this community, there is Finkel Steel Mill.
Mm-hmm.
I pass it almost every day, at some point at least two or three times a week. And I remember when they had taken, because it was Versen Steel, and they changed it over to Finkel because Finkel had a place up on the north side. And I remember the 8th Ward Alderman talking about what a boon this was going to be for the community. They're not hiring from the community. These people get right on Stony Island, go back out to Indiana, or go back Lakeshore Drive to the north side. How do you make corporations realize that this is a better Chicago when you hire people from within the city?
Yep. So I would, you know, I can speak from our experience, which is we have more businesses than we actually have funding to help.
Okay.
So I can tell you there's way over 50 companies, you know, J.P. Morgan Chase and Rush Hospital and University of Chicago Hospitals. Uh-huh. I mean, there are a lot of companies who are actually interested in doing it. And so I think, you know, the reality is it's just a matter of, you know, being connected with them and being able to bring them good talent. And part of, you know, our claim to fame in this too is we do what we say we're going to do.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we lock arms with an employer, we actually then go and find that talent.
All right, then it's 11:18 on the Talk of Chicago. We're talking to Marie Lynch. She's president and CEO of Skills for Chicagoland's Future. If you have any questions, give us a call, 773-591-1690, and we'll wrap up in this next segment. I've really enjoyed you, I have to tell you. It's 11:18. All right, it's 11:22 on the Talk of Chicago, 1690 WVON. Now, you were recently on Chicago Tonight, right?
No, I was not.
But they were talking about
Our issues. Yes.
They were talking about our issues. The report analyzes unemployment rates by state and ethnicity, found a prevailing divide along racial lines, overall employment improvement since the recession. In Illinois, the white-black unemployment gap is especially wide, while nationally African Americans are employed at 2.1 times the rate of their white counterparts. Blacks in Illinois are unemployed at a rate nearly three times higher than whites. This is shocking.
And unacceptable.
And I love that you said that. And let's start about with our young people. You know, there are some, unfortunately, because of the recession, there are kids that grew up every day that didn't see anybody that they knew get up and go to a job.
Yep.
And a lot of that has to do with the poverty, you know, how, you know, government assistance has crippled them in many ways. And there's no excuse. But if you don't have any point of reference, you just don't know how to do these things. So specifically with our young people, how do we get them in this work ethic if they've grown up in a household that has been dependent on public assistance for their entire lives?
Yep. So love that question. A year ago, actually, I was at the Urban League where they did this study from the year before, and I listened to about 25 youth talk about this issue. Mm-hmm. And I came back to our organization, and we refocused because about 30% of who we served then were 17 to 24, and this year we're up to 40%. We increased it intentionally. And we also got some funding to actually do some focus groups as we're designing what we're going to do to be more.
Well, I love the idea you're doing the focus
group. Oh, we are. So we've been talking to youth. That's what I'm share with you. We've been talking to youth exactly to this question because we're figuring out what we're going to do to be able to help place even more youth. And what's interesting is, I'll tell you this, I will say, the youth want jobs. They want more than summer jobs. Mm-hmm. They want part-time jobs. They want full-time jobs. They want year-round jobs. And what's was really compelling to me in listening to them is universally this focus on the job being a place that where it feels like family. Mm-hmm. Means they want to work there and they want to stay there.
So they want to work here.
They want to work here. That's right. But if the place feels like family to them, that the place is really invested, the wage even matters a little less. The transportation matters a little. I think everybody's focused on transportation wage, which is important.
Right.
But the reality is, it's how that if that employer feels like a place that they can move up, that the people care for them, they want those jobs. And so we're doubling down to we're doubling down this year to actually work with the youth. They are the hope of our future, and these guys want the jobs.
So you told me off air, and I think if you have time, can we take this a little bit over?
Sure.
Okay, so you told me there are 100 jobs available right now today.
Yep. Yep.
And all they would have to do is do what?
So anybody who's interested right now, you go to scfjobs.com. You go and you look at what job you're interested in, apply for that, and give us a profile. Fill out your profile so that if that's not the right job, we can continue to track you and see if there's another job.
All right, let's go to Chris. Chris, thank you for your patience. Go right ahead.
Hi, Perry. I love the show. First time caller on your show. Can you hear me?
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate that.
Yeah, I love you, girl. You get at it. Just wanted to say, I didn't know what the show was about. I'm just getting in the car, tuning in, and I heard a lady talking about jobs. Ironically, I'm just leaving a bus company. They turned me down because of my background. Now, Perry, I get kids jobs all the time. I lost my job in December. I was a truant officer for alternative school. I've done Magic Johnson School, Banner West Academy on the west side. I have a program, long-standing, the Man Up Project, inside Cook County Jail, where I'm the founder and the director. I have guys coming out of jail. I do a workshop with them. I'm a minister. I'm an author. I've been out of prison since 1997, have not looked back, have not gotten in trouble. I can't find a job for me now. Can you help me?
Yeah, so first of all, thank you for doing God's work, both for yourself and for those that you're serving. I heard you say you just tuned in. We've actually been looking as well at the population that you're talking about, those that are, you know, ex-offenders and the difficulty. And we're actually looking at that right now as well. You're exactly right. It's very difficult. There's a select number of employers that are really engaged in that. We're actually looking at trying to increase the number of employers that do that. And there are those, like Freedman Seating and the West Side, which are very committed to hiring those. But I would say, you know, I don't know if you heard this, but I would say, you know, go to scfjobs.com.
SCF
Jobs.com. Look at what we have, and we're committed, regardless of somebody's background, of trying to do what we can and finding those employers that'll hire those that have backgrounds.
How does that sound, Chris?
Well, that sounds good. I definitely will do it. I put my application online. I've been sending my resume to have a really, really, I think, respectful resume. So you say S as in Sam, E as in Early, F as in Frank?
S as in Sam, C as in Cat, F as in Frank.com. SCFjobs.com.
Right. Gotcha.
All right. Thank you, Chris. Good luck to you. Third good. Thank you for your patience. Go right ahead.
Thank you for coming on, madam, and teaming with the dynamic WVON, the dynamic Perry Small. You are doing God's work. And just a couple observations. There's an upcoming town hall, I think, another series talking about violence in Chicago. I respectfully remind people, I make this point, that the original drive-by was Al Capone and Bugs Moran in that era, Irish and Italian immigrants fighting over during the Depression time over prohibition. So what happened? They gained contracts at the governmental level. They gained jobs. And now we don't even talk about that anymore. So the correlation between poverty and lack and violence is clear. One other observation, if I may. I was recruiting my alma mater to come to Chicago and do different things. And I got pushback. Well, it's too dangerous in some areas. But I was able to overcome it. I made the following. If you took the total amount of homicides last year, was it 500 or so, 800, double it, do it, 2,000. 2,000 in a population of 2.8 million people is a fraction of 1%. But the truth of the matter, people go to work, go to school day in, out, on public transportation and the like,
yes,
and have no problem whatsoever. It is the media that hypes up and gives us the lead story of these incidents. By and large, these are gangbangers taking out gangbangers over territory.
Mm-hmm.
So there is great demand, great need, and I just really appreciate you for coming on, and I hope that you would come on again and talk about opportunities.
Absolutely. You just took the words right out of my mouth. She's got to come on more often, or at least a representative, because I know that you are very busy. You like what you do, don't you?
You know what? I love what I do. And
you do.
I do. I've been in this for about 8 years. And when I was a kid, where I was growing up,
Where'd you grow up?
I grew up in Villa Park, a west suburb, which actually is pretty diverse.
Uh-huh.
And has
Portillo's.
Yes. my story, while it's not the same as living next to a vacant lot, my personal story is I live next to an air conditioning guy and a plumber. And I had these ambitions of wanting to get into government or not-for-profit work and trying to get internships. And I couldn't. I didn't have the right neighbors. I didn't have the right... My parents, I had no connections. I had no, just what you're talking about. I had no way. And I saw kids getting these jobs who didn't want them, but they just had the right parents. And that stayed with me. And as my career evolved, really helping folks get a step up is been in my heart and soul. And so every time we can help somebody, nothing means more to me than we can help somebody find a job. And I see them on our elevator and they have a job and then they get paid. And we had a woman at right before the holidays, who talked to our recruiter and said, my kid can get a Christmas present now because of what happened.
Oh, wow.
We had a guy in the office last week. He's actually is an ex-offender, a young guy. God, he melted my heart because this guy went back, got himself a welding certificate,
mm-hmm.
Got his life back in track, put this resume together, shows up at our office, failed his first assessment.
Mm-hmm.
Our team cheered him on. I went to meet him personally. I was so impressed with his resume.
Mm-hmm.
Came back, passed. And he's interviewing last week with a company who's willing to hire ex-offenders. Those are the stories we want to have. We have 1,150 last year. But that changes a life, right? When you're not on the street and you're not at home.
That's so cool.
But you're working. It's a job.
And it changes your life. I mean, it does something for your soul. Now, I took off for about 10 years for all kinds of nonsense. But when I went back to work, I felt good about myself again. So,
yeah.
And I had all the advantages that you say that you didn't have. But, spoiled rotten. That's all I can tell you. All right, then. So I'm going to continue this because people want you to repeat the number. They want you to repeat the website.
Okay.
There are 100 jobs listed right now.
Yep.
They will help you with your assessment. They will help you build your resume. These jobs are available today. They're not dangling like, well, maybe we'll call you, maybe if you have the right, you know, the credentials, and if you're willing to work hard. These, how soon do they, for the most part,
so what happens is so what happens is you go to scfjobs.com, you apply for the job that you're interested in, and then we have a team of recruiters that look, and based on what the company's requiring, if you're a good match, you get a phone screen.
Okay.
If you pass that phone screen, then you come in our office. Okay, and then we actually have you know, materials from the businesses who tell us what they're looking for. You then interview with us. You pass that, then you go to the company, and there's a set interview day, usually a couple weeks after you meet with us, and then the process goes on. If you're not a match, but we think you're in the right spot, you end up staying. Our recruiters talk to one another, and we'll talk about whether there's another job we can put you in for. If we think that your interview skills or your resume skills aren't exactly up, we'll refer you back to one of the agencies so that you can get that ready.
Like the Urban League.
That's right.
Or St. Sabine.
That's right.
Or something.
And come back when you're ready.
All right, then. See, you just got to do the work. 1133 on the Talk of Chicago, 1690 WVON. Illinois has the highest black unemployment rate in the nation. That breaks my heart. This used to be such a great state.
We'll make it. We'll get
we're
there.
Don't say we're going to make it great again.
I'm not going to say that. I'm going to say we're going to get there.
You know,
we're together.
We were almost with there together.
We're on it together.
Yeah, so this is Marie Lynch. She is the president and CEO of Skills for Chicagoland's Future. We'll repeat all this information when we come back. It's 1134. All right, it's 1139 on the Talk of Chicago, 1690 WVON. We've been talking to Marie Lynch, President and CEO of Skills for Chicagoland's Future. What's your take on the minimum wage? Would a minimum wage hike help?
So we're seeing, in terms of our work, we're seeing that the minimum wage changes that are happening in Chicago are helpful.
Okay.
They are helpful. I know there's a lot of debate out there on the positive and negatives associated with that. For the unemployed that we're serving, it's clearly making a difference.
It is making a difference. $13 an hour makes that big of a difference?
It's every dollar an hour makes a difference, right?
Okay.
But certainly, you know, it's a delicate balancing act, because you want to do it in a way that doesn't have negative consequences on the quantity of jobs.
Right.
But every dollar an hour makes a difference. And, you know, honestly, a lot of the companies are talking about, you know, in addition to wages, what can they do to be more competitive, you know, with education that they can provide, with flexibility they can provide. So I think it is, you know, it's a competitive workplace right now. And so that's good.
If you can remember, what would be the longest time a person has been unemployed that you were able to find employment?
Oh, yeah. So 70% of who we serve have been unemployed more than 6 months, and we regularly have had folks who are 2 to 4 years unemployed.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, in cases like that, you need to build your way back up sometimes. It's just important to have to then be working. I always say we try not to be judgmental about jobs, because if you haven't been working for 4 years, you need to have somebody who's a reference for you.
And they do say that most employers do not want to hire you for the most, not the ones that you work with, if you've been 6 months off of a job. So there are other things in these people's lives. They might be volunteering at the hospital,
right.
Larabita or
right.
something. They might do some work for their church.
Right.
It's important for them, even if they don't go to a 9-to-5 job, that they stay engaged.
That's right. And the other thing I say is, you know, for those of you know, your listeners on the phone that are actually employers, what folks may not know is that the research and the data actually shows that if somebody's been unemployed for longer than 6 months, they are actually more likely to stay at that job, their next job. Their retention is actually higher because they are so loyal.
Right, and so grateful
so
to have
grateful.
Had this chance.
Yes. And so
where did this come from, where the employer said, well, we don't want you if you've been unemployed for 6 months?
I think it's, you know, it's kind of basic economics in the sense of a market signal. When you're employed, you look like you're more, you know, you look like you're
dependable.
Yeah, you look like you're more dependable. But the reality is, I think that, you know, this Great Recession has shown us actually in all the data and the research that's done that actually those that are unemployed actually tend to stay longer.
And work their butts off.
That's right. They're so happy to have that job.
And loyal to that company.
That's correct.
Because they gave them an opportunity.
That's right.
All right. So give them the, once again, the website to
yep.
go to, so where they can look at a listing
yep.
of different jobs and you can apply.
Yep. And you can set up a profile. So it's scfjobs.com. jobs.com. Mm-hmm. You can go there and set up a profile. So we have you stay active with it on a monthly basis. Mm-hmm. Keep applying for jobs so we see that. And then if they want to just learn about our organization in general, skillsforchicagolandsfuture.com. They can go there and see all about us. And we're, you know, we're thrilled to work with as many folks as we can.
So what do you say to people? Marie, what do you say to prospective employers who are maybe a little reticent about what do you do? How do you work your magic? How do you turn them around?
Yep. So since we've been doing this 4 years, we've gotten pretty proficient at this. And early on was the hardest part because we were new and we were trying to convince folks that, yes, people have been unemployed, but the risk was worth it. And in that case, we had five employers who stepped up. Five who said, you know what, we're gonna take this dance with you and we're gonna do it. And what happened is because those folks that got placed, we did what we said we're gonna do and we got them placed and they're good jobs and they were good employees.
Okay.
Those five then recommended us to another five and then recommended us another five and then we got more press and then people started to realize that this was good talent we could find. Mm-hmm. And then what happened, we actually survey our employers every year.
Okay.
We just did our survey from 2016 and they tell us one is that they like the diversity of the talent. We can find folks in the neighborhoods that they are having trouble accessing, and two, that we're bringing them good talent. And so we've basically taken this whole idea that somebody who's unemployed is not somebody who's going to stay and turned it upside down and actually shown them that they can.
Whose idea was this? Whose baby was this?
So, fun question. So I had a previous organization where we had experimented with what became our skills model. And we saw that when you work with the employer on the front end and got them to agree to commit to hire, we had much higher results. And so Daniel came in. We talked with him. We made a pitch to them to actually do more of this. We made a pitch to a number of business people. Penny Pritzker was our first chair of our board. We pitched her. And so we had the data, which showed what happened. And then we had some people who really wanted to do something about unemployment, partner with us and create a great board.
All right, then. I'd like to get to some telephone calls. 773-591-1690. Ryan is on the line. Ryan, thank you for your patience. Go right ahead. Hi, Ryan.
Perry. Hello, Perry. Thanks so much for taking my call and greeting to your guests. Just a quick question. I just want to ask your guest through her experience, do you think affirmative action is needed now?
Do you think affirmative action is a good idea now?
You know, so we don't, we don't take a position on policy matters.
Okay.
What we do, I guess I'd answer it this way. What we do is we believe our route to address some of that and any type of the racial inequality that existed is to actually be working in the neighborhoods where there's a diverse talent set and to be actually just demonstrating through results that that folks of all different backgrounds are going to stay in jobs.
And the main thing is to get the information to the people. They can't be involved if the information doesn't get to the right people. So you talked about St. Sabina with Father Flager and Dondi's house and all of that. Of course, in just a few minutes, we're going to be talking to workforce development from the Urban League. That's something we do every Monday. And I can't tell you how my heart is full every time I go out, we have a public event, and somebody says, Perry, I got that job. And I'm hoping that people will tell me that about you. Let's go to Stranjay. Thank you so much.
Yeah, I actually work for a program called the Manufacturing Connect Program. It's actually inside of the Austin Campus High School over on Pine and Fullerton. I graduated from this program in 2011. Basically, what happens is students within the high school, they're able to take machine shop classes and project leadaway coursework in order to receive NIMS credentials, which is National Institute of Metalworking Skills.
Mm-hmm.
So they get these skills, and once they graduate from high school, they graduate with these credentials, and they can start full-time employment. We actually have, like myself, I'm actually working for the Manufacturing Connect program.
Oh, wow.
And getting and getting other high school students those opportunities within the neighborhood, within our Austin community.
So what has this experience been like for you, Stranjay? What has it been like? I mean, I imagine that you come from rather humble beginnings, but you just wanted to do something different. How has this changed your life?
It was really just having the program inside of the school.
Right.
I knew nothing about manufacturing and engineering until I came to Austin. When I came to Austin, I took the Project Lead the Way coursework, which was like digital electronics classes and machine shop classes, and I was able to get these credentials, not knowing that I would be able to use those mm-hmm. to get a good, nice, you know, quality living job.
Yes.
I've actually, so thank you for calling in. I've actually seen it firsthand. I've actually seen the program you're with the high school. It's amazing. And I'm familiar with Project Lead the Way, too. So I think you've set yourself on a great path. And for you and your fellow alumni and students who are graduating even this year, please, you know, come to us at scfjobs.com and make sure you create a profile. And you're doing exactly the right thing by getting that type of certification.
Thank you. Go ahead.
That website again? I didn't hear you.
scfjobs.com.
Mm-hmm.
And go ahead there for yourself or you know, your fellow classmates or alumni. Please go on, and we have some manufacturing jobs. That'd be great.
Yeah. So All right. we also actually partner with the Jane Addams Resource Center.